up, everyone, and welcome to the SWAT Show. This is the weekly 15-minute show featuring practical, usable advice from the best triathletes, coaches, and experts from this beautiful world of triathlon that I inhabit, and so that you can get the most from your training time and maximize your enjoyment of the triathlon lifestyle. So my name's Simon Ward. I'm the founder of thetriathloncoach.com and the SWAT Inner Circle, which will be the number one resource for performance-minded triathletes just like you. And if you'd like to get my special gift and my best training strategies from 20 years of coaching and competing squeezed into just 3 pages of content, you can just hop along to our website, thetriathloncoach.com, and download it from there. Or you can email triathlonsuccess to Lucy at thetriathloncoach.com, and she will send you the document. Now, enough of that. Enough about me. I talked about the triathlon lifestyle and enjoyment, and tonight I'm joined by a long-time friend of mine, Mr. Kestutis Aleknavicius. That's a lot of letters in there. Amazing number of points on a Scrabble board, so we're just going to call him Kez. Good evening, Kez.
Good evening, Simon.
How are you today, mate?
I'm all right, yeah. I'm feeling okay. I'm recovering from my 38th Ironman, which means that I'm as nutty as you are, probably.
Well, three times as nutty as me, Kez, because I've only done 16. Well, more than twice as nutty as me. Only a third as nutty as our Mexican friend, Luis Alvarez, who's done 128.
He must have a lot of time on his hands. I think he's also got quite a large bank balance, from what I understand, which helps.
He's the CEO of a big company in Mexico, so he's obviously got a good assistant, a good bank balance, and a private jet with the amount of races he does.
I've run alongside him at a couple of races, and he has like personal assistants who go off and get him water and things. He don't have outside aid; he has personal aid on the course provided by somebody doing the race next to him.
Well, I know what, I'm going to get done for cheating here. So what I'll do is I'll pay for you to do the race and then you're in it too. Excellent. Yeah. That is how to bend the rules. But anyway, look, enough of that. Listen, Kez, the thing that I've always admired you for is your unquenchable enthusiasm for this sport of ours. You were one of the first people I called upon for advice when I decided to do my first Ironman over 20 years ago, back in that favourite place of ours, Ironman Canada. And you're still going strong. And I know you turned 60 recently, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
How do you manage it, Kez? How do you manage, A, to keep fit, B, to keep finishing them, and C, to keep so enthusiastic? What's your secret?
Okay, I can probably do an ABC, but I don't remember the order.
Never mind.
Finishing them is always a given. As it turns out, in my very first race in 1990, something knocked me off my bike and I ended up in hospital. And I thought, if I ever get to do one of these races again, I'm going to finish. Yep. And that's been my mindset ever since. No matter how good or how bad or how horrible the day is or how fit I don't feel after so many hours, I always insist that I get to the finishing line, and I would stay out of a medical tent all of the time. I never want to have a DNF next to my name unless a guy in a white coat and a stethoscope tells me I'm off the course and I'm going to hospital.
Yep.
So that's why I always finish them. How do I stay enthusiastic, Simon? I think I travelled very, very early on in doing Ironman races. I did the first Ironman distance race at Ironbridge. Anybody's old enough to remember that?
I can remember that one, Yep.
It was an iconic race, just done the once. However, somebody somehow managed to get 20 corner slots for that race. And in order to claim them, you have to pay money up front before the race. It seemed like a bit of a shady deal at the time, but I think just the people who had the money up front got to qualify. So I got to go, and I think it was because I was a fast athlete, and that's probably correct. And I got to go to Hawaii, my second ever Ironman. And realised that travel and the enjoyment of meeting loads of really interesting people, I don't mean head cases, but really interesting people who were connected with Ironman and not through forums or anything like that. It was just really close interpersonal contacts, and my world was transformed. The year after that, Canada, and then my world opened, and I've travelled all around this world. And I'm a rubbish traveller, but if there's a destination and a purpose to it, I'll go. So I've done Ironman races in Brazil, Australia, away many times, and just gone round and experienced lots of different events in lots of different places, just because that's kept me motivated.
And you've almost got extended family in all of those countries you just mentioned, haven't you? Because you do a lot of homestays, don't you?
Pretty much now, yeah. So I can get a lot of nice comfortable beds in a lot of countries, because just making really good friends, not horrible miserable friends, but people who share your values and in your interests. And of course, over time they come to you. They visit your house in the UK. We can't offer them an Ironman of the same grandeur as Ironman Canada. But people come up and stay here, and we go to their place in Australia and Canada. And that really keeps you switched on and motivated. That does help. It doesn't stop you getting injured and stuff like that, but you've just got to carefully manage your training and things like that in order to get ready for race day. And everybody has difficulties getting ready for race day. And we all go through illnesses and pulls and yanks and little strains on our bodies. But I have somehow managed to stay away from the big pain barrier and got round 38 of these things without too much physical difficulty.
I remember asking you a couple of years ago, Kez, about whether you had big ups and downs in your training. And you said, I seem to remember then, you said, not really. You commuted by going backwards to and from work. You know, you did the same swim sessions in and out, and you were just consistent all year round. So, and I think, you know, from my coaching experience now, it seems to me that people tend to certainly get ill when they try to ramp up the training too much. So they do 5 or 6 hours during the winter, and then as it gets warmer, they suddenly ramp it up to 15 hours and bang, they get ill, or they get injured when they get too ambitious. But you've always seemed to have a much more even and consistent approach.
I think the even and consistent might reflect in my finishing times as well. I never really pushed the boat out too far, because I always thought that you have to fit this into your life rather than it be your life.
Yes.
And as you said, I don't train much less in the winter than I do in the summer. I might have a bit more time now. And thankfully, as I am now 60 and semi-retired, I'm enjoying the life of freedom, where I can train a lot more often. I mean, but I wish I had 35-year-old legs to do it with. However, you know, there is a trade-off. You know, I'm now racing in the 60 category, and you get what you get. You know, that's just an interesting thing to find out. And but it keeps you skinny and it keeps you well. And I've served as a PE teacher for over 30 years, and I never felt overtired at work, and I could outrun my kids in more sports. So that was always a good thing to do, to stay fit and as well as them. But the consistency, I think, is an absolute key. Anybody who's doing this first time or for the 20th time, the word consistency runs all the way through it. If you can keep going month in, month out, you've got to have some rest, plan that in. You've got to have some fun, plan that in, but you've got to keep going all the time. And you've just got a level of fitness that doesn't ever go away.
That's the baseline. I went on a training camp with another man we both know, Bernie Shrewsbury, and that was back in 1989. So 26 years ago, yeah, he was. He was British champion then, and he was a special forces soldier. He didn't do much work, man. I think he was a full-time athlete. But and I wrote down in a book and my little training diary that, you know, you used to get the little hand-printed 220 training diary. It come out every year in A5 size, yes. And a week to a couple of pages, and I'd fill it in religiously every week. But at the back of that, I made a note, which I put in inverted commas: consistency is the key to success, and in capital letters. And you know that I've met professional athletes and triathletes now, right through from when the Brownlees were young lads up to, you know, Craig Alexander and Chris McCormack and Chrissy. And you talk to them, and nearly every one of them says their success is due to being consistent in the training. Every one of them. And I keep thinking back to what Bernie told me all those years ago. And it's something that I keep close to my heart, not just in my coaching, but also in my own training, is I just try to be consistent. And like you, I don't have big ups and downs.
There are those times when you just can't be bothered, or you're too tired, or, you know, the dog's sick, and you just really can't. You just can't get out the door. And it's also having the strength of character to think, you know what, that's just another training session. I don't have to do twice as much tomorrow, or just put an X in the box. You don't have to do it every day. And, you know, that doesn't mean say you're not consistent. You'll make up your time. You'll train when you're feeling better. But if it's a bad time or a bad day, don't even go and try and do it, because you will not get any benefit. And I think if training doesn't give you some benefit, you've got to ask yourself, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've had those empty hours on the bike and empty hours on the run. And sometimes in the pool, you think, oh, I wish I was somewhere else. But really, you probably should be somewhere else. And I'm having a few laughs because it's a hard thing. And people do tend to beat themselves up, not just physically, but emotionally, about not being able to sort of meet their own expectations or meet their training schedule. And it should be a mountain you have to climb. Go on, Si.
Do you do that, Kez? Do you beat yourself up over things? You know, do you beat yourself up over your performances or
over stuff?
No. Ever? Did you ever?
No. I actually get sometimes a bit fed up wishing that if I'd have done this, you know, I could have sorted this out, or I took my eye off the ball on that one. You know, I finished second in my age group in Bolton this year, and I knew the guy who was coming was a strong biker. And I knew he was going to pace me on the bike, but I knew the swim and the run would I'd be more favourable to me. But I just didn't do the right bike training to get even close to maximising my potential against myself.
Right.
And you kick yourself, because that's another year that you ain't going to qualify, or you're not going to get that first position.
Yep.
And really, and even to be able to think about that when you're 60, seems balmy. Because most people at 60, they have to just be alive.
I've woken up this morning. That's a good day.
and I'm thinking, well, I want to, you know, because there's only one qualifying spot in my age group now. So you think, right, podium's okay, but number one's the only thing that matters now. So you set your sights in a very small age group, very, very high. So I will, of course, consider that, and I will think about how I'm going to try and get my best out of it. But, you know, if it didn't come off, you just walk away and think, hey, that's all right. I get a gong as well as sore legs. Most people just get sore legs. That's all good.
I have a friend who actually came third to you in Bolton. He's called Eric Blakey. He's a big guy from Newcastle. I'm sure you've
met him. I met Eric, yeah.
The big E, we call him. He looks more like a rugby player than a triathlete, and he used to be. And he's probably one of the only people that could look you in the eye, actually. But he didn't just do Bolton, and then he was going to do something else. He was down to do Ironman Wales, but he was in Mallorca at the weekend, and I saw him on the run and saw him at the finish, and he wasn't very happy with his fourth place finish. You know, but he said, never mind, I've got Malaysia in a few weeks. And I'm like, how many have you done this year, Eric? I think he's done four this year so far. But he's 64. Yeah. And he's like 64 years old. And he's not just thinking, oh, I didn't do a good race there. He's thinking, I didn't do a good race. But at least I've got another chance in a month's time.
Well,
it's crazy, isn't it?
For your younger listeners, that might seem a bit bizarre that the guys who are almost at pensionable age are thinking about maximising the Ironman training and opportunities.
It's a
journey. The whole thing's a life cycle. You know, you squeeze it in when you're 35 because you're too fast, too busy. But as time becomes a bit more available to you, as your life, you know, stretches out in front of you, you've got to take these moments, because I've got a feeling I'm not going to be feeling like this when I'm 80. I just get the so this is these are the days, and I'm really enjoying. And we can look back over the hill and think, you know what? We were there when carbon fiber came out. We were there when
aero bars came out.
Yeah, aero, all that stuff. We've taken every single advantage as they've come along. Now, if you're just starting up right now, you open up your Try magazines, you think, got to have all that. Well, actually, you don't. Because John Howard set the same time as Frederik van Leer did on his bike when they both won the Kona.
Yeah.
Check it out. You know, and John Howard is on a steel bike. He was a great cyclist, but you don't need all the toys to do well. You know, it can be confusing for the people just coming into it. What do? Do you buy gear? No, you train.
True. Well, that's
some good advice.
And that's it. Is go back to basics, do the basic training, get it right, get your technique right, get your consistency right, get your health right, stay healthy and injury free, and you'll do pretty well. And then when you've done all that, you can get some gadgets and squeeze the rest out of it, can't you? But anyway, listen, Kez. I said we were going to talk for 15 minutes. You've set the record now because we've gone over 15 minutes. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get one final piece of advice. Let's say somebody's just coming into the sport. Let's say the Simon Ward that rang you up in 1995, right, is ringing you today to say, my friends told me to ring you, Mr. Kez, because you know everything about triathlon and Ironman. Which race should I go to, and what one piece of advice would you give me to be doing it again, doing it in 20 years' time like you?
Did you say which race should you go to?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you should go and do Ironman Wales.
Right.
Personally,
okay.
Because it's got absolutely everything you'd ever want from a race with knobs on.
Right.
It really just has. It's got all the great atmosphere. There are lots of other races that would match it probably, but Wales is just outstanding, and you'll know you've done an Ironman if you've been there. It's just great. And the best piece of advice, the hardest part of this whole race is the run. And all you need is a pair of really decent trainers, and you're already in your tri suit. It's cheap as chips. Concentrate on your run. It's the last 10 miles, the last 5Ks. If you're swinging and running like the wind, then you're a hero. And that's the end of it. You know, people think wetsuits, carbon fibre, blindly on bikes. No. Concentrate on your running. We all need to do it. It's a no-brainer.
That sounds like a piece of advice that was aimed at me. I'm sure you told me that 20 years ago, Kez, and I'm still trying to figure out the run bit. But anyway, listen, it's been amazing talking to you. I'm really pleased you could join us tonight. I'm sure the listeners do too. His name's Kez Aleknevicius. He's called Kez A. If you ask anybody that's been around in triathlon for a long time, they will know of him or know him. And I'm pretty certain that you're going to bump into him at a race near you coming soon. And I'm pretty sure that most of you listening here will be outlasted by Kez in the Ironman world. Let's hope you're not. But from me, I'll be back next week with another guest on the SWATcast. From me and Kez, see you again soon. Bye, Kez.
Thank you very much, Simon. Have a good evening.
Bye for now.